Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative. It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm David Gustina. Joining us this week, pollster Steven Greenberg from the well-known Siena Poll, which emanates from Siena University. You can find out more at sri.siena.edu. Welcome back, Steve Greenberg.
Great to be with you, David.
Obviously, we call on you when there's a new poll, and there is a new poll. Hochul, probably the most important figure here, along with Congresswoman Elise Stefanik, who's now declared that she's running for governor. And we see the governor up by 20 points in this poll, but Stefanik is gaining.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's good news and bad news for both candidates in this poll. Taking a step back and looking at the horse race first, what we see is that Hochul has a 20-point lead, 52% of voters, registered voters. These are not likely gubernatorial voters next year. Registered New York State voters, 52% of them say they're with Hochul, 32% say they're with Stefanik, a 20-point edge for Hochul. Back in September, the last time we asked, it was 52-27%. So Stefanik up from 27-32, made it a 20-point race, not a 25-point race. And where did she pick that up? Not surprisingly, among Republicans largely, and also a little bit independents. So back in September in the horse race, she was obviously winning with Republicans, but it was 68-15. Now it is 79%-11%. So big pickup among Republicans now that she's announced. Republicans are like, all right, I can come home to her. And so that's why we saw the race tighten up a little bit. But both candidates have a lot more work to do. We have 11 months until the election, 8 months until the primary, if either or both candidates have primaries. And where we stand right now in terms of how voters view the two candidates, they have a mixed feeling about the incumbent governor, Kathy Hochul. Right now, 43% of New Yorkers view her favorably, slight plurality, 45% view her unfavorably, down a couple points from September when she was at a 45-42 positive rating. And in terms of her job approval rating, right now, a majority of New Yorkers, 52%, approve of the job that Hochul's doing as governor, 43% disapprove, down a few points from the September poll. And Elise Stefanik right now, you know, well, very well known in the North Country, known to a certain extent in the Capital Region, but really, you know, a North Country congresswoman who was not particularly well known statewide. Well, she's becoming a little bit more well known. So right now, 28% of voters say they have a favorable view of Stefanik, 36% say they have an unfavorable view, and another 36% say either I've never heard of Elise Stefanik or I don't really know enough about her to have an opinion. Back in September, her rating, her favorability rating was 21% favorable, 34% unfavorable. So since then, up 7 points on the good side, up 2 points on the bad side. But she went from 45% of New Yorkers not having an opinion about her to now 36. And we will see over the course of the coming months as her campaign gears up, as she travels the state, as she gets more media attention, that 36% who don't know her or don't know enough about her to have an opinion will certainly decrease. The question is, do they fall into the favorable towards Stefanik category or the unfavorable? And that's what campaigns tell us.
We're speaking with Steve Greenberg and the well-known Siena Poll. We're talking about Governor Hochul and her challenger on the Republican side, Congresswoman Elise Stefanik. What captures me here, Steve, is this line. Currently, 42% of voters are prepared to reelect Hochul, while 48% would prefer someone else. So that's very interesting that the majority wants somebody else, which gives a real opening to Stefanik, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Look, this what we call the generic reelect question used to be more serious. Many years ago, like if you are incumbent and your reelect was below 50, You were nervous. You were concerned. We see now that there's such displeasure with so many politicians among the electorate that it's not surprising to see somebody negative on the reelect question then go on to win. But what we did here, I thought, was interesting. We did something we've not done before. After we asked that question, and we found that nearly half, 48% of voters, said they would prefer someone else, we asked them, that someone else you'd prefer, would it be a different Democrat or would it be a Republican? And 30% of that half of that 48% said they would prefer a Democrat, a different Democrat, to be the governor. 53%, a little more than half of that 48%, a little less than half, say they want a Republican. So if you put those together, what you have is 25% of New York electorate doesn't want to reelect Hochul, but wants a new Republican governor. Think about this, Dave. When we look at the New York State electorate, 48% of the voters in this state are Democrats. 23% of the voters in this state are Republican. Right. There are more independent voters in New York than there are Republicans. So the fact that we see that 25% of New Yorkers roughly want to see a Republican governor matches with the enrollment. And if I take even a further step back and go to the horse race question itself, that 52 to 32% lead for Hochul, Democrats support her 78 to 9%. Republicans support Stefanik by a similar amount, 79 to 11%. And independents, closely divided right now, leaning ever so slightly towards Hochul, 40% to 36%. So what we see a year out, Democrats are supporting the Democrat, Republicans are supporting the Republican, independents closely divided, and in a state where 48% of the roll voters are Democrats and only 23% are Republican, you see a 20-point lead for the Democrat.
You know, with those numbers, it makes me think this, Steve Greenberg. What is the strategy then? And I don't expect you to strategize for the candidate, but, you know, thinking about Stefanik, those independents. Now, does she go hard toward the Republicans? You've got Long Island, which is Republican. You've got upstate, largely Republican. But your cities, obviously, and New York City, the biggest, make New York a blue state. So does your strategy go more towards the center, or do you go hard to the right like you've been, to try to get as many Republicans? But those independents, as you suggest, they're the real turning point.
Look, there is a reason that no Republican has won statewide in New York in 23 years. The last Republican to win statewide was George Pataki, winning his third term as governor back in 2002. Why? Because the Democrats have such a huge enrollment advantage. So what does any Republican, whether it's Elise Stefanik, Bruce Blakeman, or any other Republican, the Republicans who are going to take on Attorney General James or Comptroller DiNapoli, in order for a Republican to win statewide, they have to do three things. One, they have to get the lion's share, almost, you know, as close to unanimous as possible. Get every Republican they can. And right now, Stefanik's doing that, 79 to 11%. But in order to win statewide, a Republican has to do two other things. They have to, one, cut into the Democratic base a little. While 48% of the voters are Democrats, 48% of the voters are not Democratic Socialists. There's a wide range of Democrats, and what a Republican has to do is pick up those more moderate or more conservative Democrats, bring them into their column, and a Republican, in order to win in New York, has to win the lion's share of independents. You can't split independents as a Republican and win the race. You need to, you know, get two-thirds of independents on your side, if as a Republican you want to win in New York.
Yeah, I agree 100%. It is so interesting to me. And then you have this wrinkle in Governor Hochul's plan, which is she's facing a primary against her own lieutenant governor, the former congressman Antonio Delgado from the 19th District. But he suffers from name recognition problems, doesn't he?
Absolutely. And we should point out, this is, you know, Delgado is not the first lieutenant governor to run against their governor.
True.
We had Marianne Krupczak, who ran against Hugh Carey. So it's not unprecedented. And then we have Betsy Ross try to run.
That's right.
Betsy Ross try to run for governor. So it's not unprecedented. Lieutenant Governor Delgado suffers from being not known across New York. Right now, only 20% of voters view him favorably, 20% view him unfavorably, but 60% of voters have either never heard of Antonio Delgado or don't know enough about him to have an opinion. It's hard. New York is a hard state to become well known in. First of all, two-thirds of registered voters in this state, nearly two-thirds of registered voters in the state, live in one media market, the New York City media market. So it is really tough to get in there and to become known. As an example, I will bring up the state controller, Tom DiNapoli. Tom DiNapoli has been the state controller now for 17 years. He's won four statewide elections. In at least two of those elections, he got more votes than anybody else in the state of New York. And when we ask voters right now, do you have a favorable or unfavorable view of Tom DiNapoli? 19% of voters say they view him favorably, 15% view him unfavorably, and two-thirds, 65% of voters said, I've never heard of Tom DiNapoli or I don't know enough about him to have an opinion. He's been a statewide official for 17 years.
Right.
So it is hard to become known, and that's one of the main challenges facing Delgado. He has got to find a way to get himself known and liked by Democrats if he wants to try and win a Democratic primary. As we know, primary turnouts are generally low. We're going to have a Democratic primary for governor, presumably in late June. But he needs to raise a ton of money, become known, travel this state, get Democrats on his side. And right now, he's just not doing that. So when we ask Democrats if the primary were tomorrow and the candidates were Hochul and Delgado, who would you support? By a commanding 56 to 16% margin, Democrats say they're with Hochul.
Well, let's go to New York City. Obviously, this was not just a New York election. This was national, if not international, because of Zohran Mamdani, the attacks that were coming from the right, not only calling him a communist, but I saw one that called him a jihadist, anti-Semitic. And yet the issue of affordability won out. He was great with social media. He got out and introduced himself, did just what you were saying Delgado should do. And he stunned the billionaires and everybody else who were supporting Andrew Cuomo, the former disgraced governor. And the Republican Sliwa was just pushed aside and discredited by even the Republicans. So you've got some numbers now on how New York sees Mamdani. Probably no surprise that his biggest favorability is in New York City.
Absolutely. Overall, statewide, right now, 40% of New Yorkers say they view Mamdani favorably. The same or a similar 40% view him unfavorably. 20% have either never heard of him or don't know enough about him to have an opinion. When we look at it by party and region, not shockingly, among Democrats statewide, Mamdani is at a 58% favorable, 23% unfavorable. Among Republicans, he is at a 10% favorable, 78% unfavorable. And independents, again, in the middle, slightly negative at the moment. 33% of independents view Mamdani favorably, 39% view him unfavorably. But in New York City, where he just got elected, 55% of voters say they view him favorably, only 31% view him unfavorably. In September, 6 weeks out from Election Day, among New York City voters, Mamdani was at a 44% favorable, 36% unfavorable. So coming out of the campaign, winning the campaign, his good number is up 9 points, his bad number is down 5 points, a 14-point swing, and now enjoys a 55-31% favorability rating in New York City.
And I bet you can predict this better than I, but then he has to govern, right? Now he's got to work with Albany for some of his proposals if he needs money. He seems to have somewhat of an agreement, not in writing or anything, but verbal agreement with Governor Hochul on universal child care, but he wants buses to be free, and that's not being received as well. So some of his campaign promises, like most politicians, the devil's in the details. And I'll be more interested in seeing where the polls are down the line after he's been in office for a while. Yes?
Absolutely. Look, I mean, the other factor in all of this is the mayor of New York City, be it Zoran Mamdani, Eric Adams, Bill de Blasio, Mike Bloomberg, we can go all the way back. The mayor of New York City often conflicts with the governor of New York State because they have different priorities, different constituencies. But the thing that New Yorkers need to keep in mind is that most of what the mayor of New York City, again, whoever the mayor is, most of the things the mayor of New York City wants to do requires state approval. The mayor of the city of New York cannot raise city taxes without getting approval from the state legislature and the governor. So there's going to be a need for Mamdani, if he wants to be successful as mayor, to find a way to build relationships. He's a current state assemblyman. Presumably he has a good relationship with the speaker. But he needs to have the speaker, the Senate majority leader, and the governor all approve things that he wants to do. So I would imagine he's going to spend a lot of time trying to build those relationships so that he can then try and be successful with his agenda.
Now we go to Senator Chuck Schumer, the minority leader who has now received his worst ever favorability rating. There's been calls for him to step aside. A lot of people felt he did not handle the shutdown well. So tell us what the numbers are when it comes to Senator Chuck Schumer.
Sure. Well, we have been asking about Senator Schumer since the first of the current Siena poll incarnation, which was back in February 2005. And back in February 2005, in that first Siena poll, Chuck Schumer had a favorability rating of 67%. Back in those days, in the 2000s and the early teens, Chuck Schumer was overwhelmingly popular, the most popular politician in New York, was viewed favorably by a majority of Republicans most of the time. Then he became the Democratic leader in the Senate. First minority leader, then majority leader, now back to minority leader. But when he became the Democratic leader in the Senate, he lost Republicans. He suddenly went from being this, you know, bipartisan New York senator to now being a partisan senator who's a, you know, a hard Democrat. So he lost Republicans, never to get them back. But he's lost independents subsequently. And the worst part for Schumer right now is that he's losing Democrats. So let's look at the numbers. Right now, only 32% of New Yorkers view Chuck Schumer favorably. 55% view him unfavorably. Back in September, it wasn't great, but it was 42% favorable, 45% unfavorable. So down 10 points on the good side, up 10 points on the bad side, a net 20-point swing. But as I said, we're not surprised by the fact that among Republicans, 74% of them view Schumer unfavorably. We're not surprised that 61% of independents view Chuck Schumer unfavorably. But when we look at Democrats alone, 45% view Schumer favorably, 43% view him unfavorably. He is almost dead even with Democrats. And by way of comparison, among Democrats alone, Kathy Hochul is 61% favorable, 27% unfavorable. And if we want to bring somebody else into the equation to look, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the congresswoman from New York City, AOC, among all voters statewide, she's favorable, but not overwhelmingly so, just narrowly. 42% of New York State registered voters view her favorably, 37% view her unfavorably. But among Democrats, she's at 62% favorable, 20% unfavorable. 62-20 compared to Chuck Schumer's 45-43.
We're talking with Steve Greenberg of the Siena poll. Very interesting numbers in this poll. Here's something that caught my attention. New Yorkers concerned about cost of health insurance favor ACA subsidies and trust Democrats more than Republicans. Now, maybe not surprising for a blue state, but it does show the impact of what could be coming.
No question about it. Look, affordability, was the issue in the presidential election last year. It was the issue in the mayor's race in New York City this year, as well as the gubernatorial races in Jersey and Virginia earlier this month. Affordability is a big issue. So we asked voters how concerned they are about the cost of health insurance. Nearly three quarters, 72% said they're concerned. 47%, almost half of New Yorkers say they're very concerned. Another 25% say they're somewhat concerned. And when we ask voters, do you think Congress should renew the ACA subsidies, the Obamacare subsidies that help to keep premium costs down? Overwhelming yes. 59% say yes, they support that. Only 21% oppose it. Democrats support it 76-8%. Independents support it 2-1, 52-27%. Republicans oppose it, but more narrowly than one might expect. 30% of Republicans support the increased subsidies. 44%, a plurality, oppose it. And then when it comes to the issue of who you trust more, Trump and the Republicans or the Democrats in Congress, what we see is a plurality, a near majority. 49% say they trust the Democrats, 26% trust the Republicans, and one out of every five New York voters, 20% say, I don't trust the Democrats or the Republicans on the issue of health care. We see the expected partisan divide. 73% of Democrats trust the Democrats. 67% of Republicans trust the Republicans. Independents lean toward Democrats, 36-28%.
All right, now let's go to majority of voters who oppose actions taken by Trump and his administration. This first one got me. Bombing boats in international waters that Trump says are Venezuelan drug dealers. We know this is against the law. I mean, we could argue that for sure. And we've seen even military leaders resign as a result of it. So tell us the numbers on how New Yorkers feel about killing potential drug dealers.
They oppose it by a 56-33% margin overall among all voters. 76% of Democrats oppose it. Independents oppose it by a 51-36% margin. But Republicans support it 72-18%. So you have about three quarters of Democrats who oppose it, about three quarters of Republicans who support it.
Wow, does that show the division there? How about prosecuting officials who have been critical of the president's, such as New York Attorney General Letitia James and former FBI Director James Comey?
Similar numbers. 57% of New Yorkers overall oppose it, only 31% support. It's opposed by 73% of Democrats. It's opposed by independents, 53-31%. But 61% of Republicans support it compared to only 27% of Republicans who oppose it.
Here we go again with the numbers. Deploying federal immigration officials such as ICE, often without uniforms, wearing masks, to the streets of American cities to round up illegal immigrants. Similar divisions here.
Yeah, absolutely. 61% of New Yorkers overall oppose it. It's opposed by 83% of Democrats, 53% of independents, but nearly three quarters of Republicans, 73%. Support it.
Now I'm going to jump down a little bit on your list here because it shows a little bit of difference here when it comes to having demolished the east wing of the White House to build a new White House ballroom.
Yeah, overall, nearly two-thirds, 64% of New York voters oppose that. 84% of Democrats oppose it. 57% of independents oppose it. Republicans support it, but by a narrower margin than on some of the other questions we were just talking about. Republicans support the building of the White House ballroom, 54-31%.
Well, here's a major issue, not only in New York State, but across the country, as we've seen the divide between rich and poor only expand. Voters are strongly for increasing taxes on the wealthiest 5% of New Yorkers. This has been a big issue, and Governor Hochul, a Democrat, has been basically against it.
Yeah, well, I mean, right now, not surprisingly, and I'll say why not surprisingly in a minute, New Yorkers support it by a 2-to-1 margin. 60% of New Yorkers support increasing taxes on the top 5% of New York earners. 32% of New Yorkers oppose it. Obvious partisan divide. 72% of Democrats support it. Independents support it 54% to 35%. Republicans oppose it, but very narrowly. 40% of Republicans support it. 51% Republicans oppose it. Other than Republicans and self-identified conservatives, every demographic group supports it. Men, women, upstate, downstate, Catholic, Jewish, black, white, etc. It's got strong support. Why? Because traditionally, historically, we've seen it. People are good with taxing others as long as you're not taxing them. And we know that the vast majority of New Yorkers are not among the top 5% earners in this state. So it's not particularly surprising that voters support increasing taxes on the other guy, the rich guy.
Finally, there's been this controversial gas pipeline that's getting all the permits now to be constructed. And this has been interesting in the context, if you think about it, Steve Greenberg, of the threats to LIHEAP, the federal funding for heating assistance. And I see that it's a closer margin when it comes to favoring this pipeline.
Yeah, I think both sides have educating to do if they want to win the public over to their side. Right now, 45% of New Yorkers say they favor a new gas pipeline to run from New York, from New Jersey to New York, near New York City. 33% oppose it. So a plurality support by 12 points. Democrats are closely divided by a 41% to 37% margin. They oppose it. Independents support it by a 46% to 28% margin. And Republicans support it 3-to-1, 60% to 22%. Interestingly, upstaters support it by 15 points, 48% to 33%. The downstate suburbanites are the biggest supporters of it, 2-to-1, 50% to 26%. And New York City voters break even, 38%, 38%.
Well, we're out of time. He is pollster Steven Greenberg from the Siena Research Institute, the well-known Siena Poll. You can read more at sri.edu. Steve, thanks as always for joining us on the Capital Connection.
Thank you, David.
Support for the Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, working to support students, educators, and public schools as the center of their communities through the Public Schools Unite Us initiative.